May the words of my lips and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. A blessed Ash Wednesday to you. As we start this season of Lent together, this 40-day journey towards the cross and towards Easter, I still remember the feeling of Lent when I was a child. Now, my family didn't attend church at all until I was about 10 or 11, so I was in later elementary school by the time I experienced Ash Wednesday and Lent for the first time. I remember the heaviness, the weight that I felt when I came forward to receive those ashes on my forehead from my pastor for the first time. I remember feeling a change at the start of the season. The tone in church felt different all of a sudden, more somber maybe. The room felt different. There were no flowers by the altar, and the lights were dimmed. The music felt different too. It all of a sudden seemed to be in a minor key, and there was a lot of talk about blood all of a sudden. As a kid, that stands out to you, all the talk about blood. We gathered in church on Wednesday evenings, just like we do here at St. Stephen's during Lent. And I remember everything about church feeling different in the darkness and the candlelight. I honestly don't remember as a child much about any sort of theological shift that happened at Lent, but I imagine there was one that the adults were a bit more privy to. And here too at St. Stephen's, our focus will shift during the season of Lent. We might spend more time confessing our sins and dwelling on our sinful nature as human beings, as we do this evening on Ash Wednesday. We will talk and pray and sing more about Christ's sacrifice as we journey toward the cross and his death. In some churches, and maybe sometimes here too, that's all taken to another level. And people in worship over Lent rehash the many ways that over and over again we have crucified Christ by what we have done wrong. The many ways in which we have caused the death of Jesus and should feel guilt and shame over our wrongdoing. This is enhanced, of course, sometimes by encouraging people to give up something for Lent and encouraging them to adopt the spiritual practices that Jesus teaches us about in the gospel reading tonight. Almsgiving, prayer, and fasting. Not only our actions, but our motivations matter, Jesus reminds us tonight. Not only our actions must be perfect, Jesus says, but the motivations behind them are significant too. In this season of Lent, our failure in all of those areas is supposed to remind us of our brokenness and our sinfulness and of the sacrifice of Christ for us. Considering our own sinful nature and its connection to the death of Christ is certainly a worthy topic. That Jesus came to earth as a human being to be with us, to know us, and to die for us is a central part of our faith. But I do tend to worry that when we spend the whole entire 40 days of Lent being so single-mindedly focused on our sin and our failure and our messed up, screwed up nature as people, that we end up spending those 40 days living like we are a people without hope. And we are not people without hope. The season of Lent may indeed be a bit darker, a little quieter, a little more minor key with a little more talk of blood. That's not all bad. But in the midst of all of that, we cannot, as the people of God, lose sight of our destination. 40 days from now, plus a few Sundays, we will again be gathered together in this place. We will be gathered together celebrating the rebirth of our hope, celebrating the resurrection of Jesus in triumph over all sin, all darkness, all death, now and forever. Our Lenten journey, in fact, does not end with Jesus' crucifixion on Good Friday. Rather, it culminates in the glorious light of Easter morning. If our destination, then, is that resurrection hope, then this entire season of almsgiving, prayer, and fasting might do well to be reoriented toward that hopeful end. All of the acts of piety that we might perform, like charitable giving, or reconnecting with God in our prayer life, or fasting from self-indulgence, might be geared toward the reality of our everlasting hope in the resurrection of Jesus. We don't perform these acts of piety in Lent to punish ourselves, or because we feel guilty and we deserve it, or because these pious actions might somehow save us from our sins, because here's the thing, they won't, they can't, ever. But by observing Lent and its spiritual practices with a vision of Easter hope, all our Lenten practices might become a form of rebirth, reconnection, and renewal. The real and actual meaning of the word Lent, do you know what it is? What does Lent mean? Does anyone know? It means spring. Spring. Lent doesn't mean guilt or shame or ashes or sacrifice. Lent means spring. Spring with its lengthening days and new growth beginning and new life happening all around. All the spiritual practices we might observe in Lent should in reality bring us to the springtime of our faith. New life and new hope and renewed faith in God. All the beautiful stories that we together are about to read in the season of Lent will be centered on new life and new birth. We'll read them together here on Wednesdays and on Sundays. Nicodemus will ask Jesus how he can be born again. The Samaritan woman at the well will come searching for life-giving water. The man born blind will receive new sight, and Lazarus will be pulled out of his grave and raised from the dead. Let the new life of those unlikely followers of Jesus find growth in your heart too. Give alms during Lent, and let that charitable giving to be done to give life to others. Pray fiercely during Lent, and do it out of a desire to be closer to the one who gives us life eternal. Fast from self-indulgence during Lent, and as you give up something you would rather not, allow the hunger that remains to be replaced instead by a hunger that works for justice, bringing hope to others. May all of us come to observe a holy Lent this year. And in this springtime of our faith, might we too find the springtime of our faith. Even today, on this darker day of Ash Wednesday, as we acknowledge the limits of human will and human life, may we be thankful for the life and hope that God has already promised. So say it with me now. Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God.